Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Episode 82 of The Morning After. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
And I'm Jen Tulloch.
Jen, how have you been this week?
I've been fabulous, fabulous. I'm so bridezillaed out that I've looped around to being serene again. I have not a care in the world. I don't know what life is, what death is. I feel no pain nor joy. I am only existing on a plane of evened out sobriety.
Because you've decided that our morning after really isn't going to be much of a morning after for you anymore.
I'm on a little cleanse. How was your week?
It was great. We did the show on Sunday, and then I got an email on Monday inviting me on a wine trip to Greece.
You're not on a cleanse.
So I am not on a cleanse. I am on cloud nine. I am freaking out. Get to go to northern Greece and visit the wine-growing regions there. And
leave me alone for 2 weeks in the studio.
I know you can handle it. You've done it to me.
I have done it to you countless times. I have spoken. I don't want to get everybody's pants on fire here, but I have spoken to a couple of previous guest hosts, celebrities included, and I have a couple nibbles.
I was hoping, you know, when I leave you alone, that you would invite someone else to do this with you, to hold your hand.
I'll have a couple co-captains. A few might even be human, so we'll see how it goes.
I can't wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
So last week we debuted or announced our new event, Stories from the Front of House.
The inaugural evening.
It is a live event, a live show. There will be a lute player.
There will be guitar and lute.
Guitar and lute to produce the score for Stories of the Front of House. It's going to be at Jimmy's 43 in the East Village, 7 p.m., September 30th.
So the gist is this. Our series, Front of House, features stories of woe and horror from the restaurant industry. And actually, it's not specific to the front of house. We've had plenty of chefs, line cooks, back waiters. I guess that is front of house. Whatever. Contribute. So it's everybody. It's anybody.
That's
and everybody.
Front and back of house.
We're all front of all of the house. Any place of the house. The basement, the attic, it doesn't matter. So in this live event, people will contribute their stories. 10 will be chosen to perform live with the lute player. And then our panel of celebrity guest judges will ultimately pick one triumphant winner whose prizes will include a chance to perform their story, if they want to, on our show.
Are you kidding?
Who wouldn't?
That is the ultimate prize.
To spend a Sunday afternoon in a Brooklyn shipping container.
With you and I, though.
Well.
And a boar's head.
And a boar's head. A taxidermied boar's head. So it's going to be a fun event. There's going to be beer. There's going to be wine. It's going to be a bunch of industry madness and fun and lute music. So September 30th at 7 p.m. at Jimmy's number 43. If you or someone you know are interested in contributing a story and performing at the event with a chance to win, you can send your stories to
morningafter.foh@gmail.com. That's morningafter.foh@gmail.com.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. So before we get to our segment, Front of House for this week, I want to introduce our in-studio guest, who we'll be speaking with a little bit later, Mr. Niles Fallon, co-owner of The Maiden Lane in the East Village.
Hello.
Can't wait to talk to him about his new venture that took over the old Life Cafe space. Joe, let's do the Front of House.
It's time.
It's your favorite story. It's front of house. It's a front of house.
Now, this is a story I wrote, and I think it's a topic that is contested often. A service charge,
certainly,
on a bill. You know, often people will you come into a restaurant and it will say on the menu parties of six or more are subject to a gratuity of 18% or 20%, which I actually think is illegal.
Well, there's only one person who can decide, and I think you and I both know who that is. It's the Dame Joan Plowright, the Baroness Olivier. Dame, are you with us?
Tipping is elementary. An automatic thank you for services rendered.
The tip should reflect your experience. It should be an easy equation. 18%, 20%. And for those small handful of fools, 21%. Get a calculator. It's not difficult. But unfortunately, either the fear of math or pure ignorance stops people from tipping properly. Enter the beautiful invention from the server gods that is automatic service charge. Helping everyone have a better night. Or so we thought. I worked in a restaurant where only allowed reservations if the group agreed to the chef's menu. Now, included in this was an 18% service charge. Pretty standard. A group of six snuggled into the round booth for the chef's menu. All was well. The night was flowing nicely. Guests happy. Blah, blah, blah. When the time came to drop the bill and handed it over graciously to the host and encouraged them to take their time, I assured them I would be there for them wherever they were ready to pay. As I tended to other tables, I could hear a murmur that turned into a roar coming from the cozy round booth. I calmly approached the table to ask if everything was okay. I could see that the host was being yelled at by his group. One of the women said, "We were told that it would be $40 a person." I explained to her the contract the host had entered when making the reservation and that the $40 was before the service charge. She wouldn't have it, and I was sick of repeating myself, so I thought it best to get my manager. My boss came from the Danny Meyer School of Hospitality. I figured he'd get us out of this situation without a fight. As my GM approached the table, the party host stood up immediately. He was at this point visibly drunk and very, very tall. My boss was about 5'5 on a good day. The host began to yell and demand that the service charge be taken off. My manager politely asked him to lower his voice and explain that the service charge is what he agreed to and that it wasn't the restaurant's fault that he did not communicate this to his fellow diners. As the volume escalated, my manager asked the host to take this outside. Not sure that I read about that tactic in setting the table. No sooner did they make it out front of the restaurant than I saw my GM being flipped on the ground by a large, angry guest. The bar was in complete view of the fight, and like a panther, our barback flew over the long marble bar to the aid of our pinned boss. The crazed host was subdued, and his entire group kicked out of the restaurant without paying their bill, let alone the service charge. Tipping is elementary, not worth fighting for. Or so I thought. And now, more than ever, I know that I was wrong. Yes, I was wrong. Thank you.
Thank you, Dame.
Oh, she's gone.
Is she going to be able to be there for us at the event?
I think she'll be attending,
yeah. Is she one of the celebrity guests?
I spoke to her about it. She really tries to shy away from public speaking. I mean, it was like pulling teeth to get her to agree to do this show, but, you know, she owed me.
I mean, she's needed a few teeth pulled anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what happens when you get older.
The whole top row are just completely made of pearl.
We're going to take a break here on The Morning After. We're going to come back with Niles Fallon of The Maiden Lane.
You're listening to Piece of Your Pie by Snowmine on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Stay tuned for more from The Morning After.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. We support Heritage Radio Network because all you folks listening are so genuine, so dedicated to serious food, so much a part of what this country needs to strive to become. People like you are few and far between, and it's obvious to us at Fairway that we've got to stick together. Our desire is that the word gets out about Heritage Radio Network in its support for serious food, foodstuffs that offer memorability and timelessness, authenticity and rarefied quality. This country grew too fast to have established any degree of a heritage. Europe had centuries to develop one. America has not. Heritage Radio Network serves to hasten the evolution of a society that often appears coarse and uninteresting. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
Just something we can build from. Oh, it seems you said
we're back here on the morning after. When you live in New York City, you see a lot of restaurants come and go. And I remember my first trip to New York City, and I was 18, and I really loved the musical Rent. So I made it a point. Yeah, I'm embarrassed. Don't look at me like that, Jen.
Silence is golden.
She liked it too, I bet.
Not even
exactly. And I made it a point to go to Alphabet City and go to the Life Cafe. And while I know a lot of history happened there, it wasn't the best meal I've ever had. But that's not to say anything bad about them or about the Life Cafe. And then years later, I ended up moving into Alphabet City, and I've been there for the last 5 years. And when a restaurant opens up that you're really excited about in an old space, in an old historic space, things are even better. Enter the Maiden Lane and Niles Fallon, co-owner. Welcome to the Morning After.
Thank you for having me on the show.
I have to say, I am excited about the space and what you guys are doing. I feel like that's what everybody wants in their neighborhood, is a great spot to go have a glass of wine, have some food. You can stay for as long as you want. You don't have to stay as long as you want. And we were just talking earlier about how when I was reading about it in Eater, they called it a wine bar. What do you feel like the concept of Maiden Lane is?
Well, Gareth and I both live in Alphabet City as well. We've lived there for several years. And so when the space became available and we opened the Maiden Lane, it was definitely... we were wanting to open a place that, you know, was a neighborhood spot. We try and frame away from saying it's a wine bar or a restaurant. Mainly, we are offering, you know, cured, smoked, canned seafood and wine and beer that goes really well with that. We definitely plan on expanding the wine list, and we definitely at times feel a lot like a bar, but we're also open all day long, 7 days a week. And, you know, we're basically just trying to be a neighborhood spot that caters to something that's really missing in Alphabet City right now.
So you were most recently the GM at Teresi.
Yes.
And you were running the wine program there. I guess what prompted you to leave and kind of embark on this? I mean, I imagine it's been a long time coming to take up this concept.
It has been. I mean, Gareth and I have been working on a concept in general for many years, and you know, the what we've opened wasn't necessarily what we were working on when we were at Teresi. Gareth was at Parm. He was a coworker of mine. But when this space became available, the old Life Cafe space, we really just fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of restrictions on this space. The basement is 4-foot ceilings. There's no kitchen available. There's no vents or anything. And so really the space dictated what we opened. And, you know, we started opening it as a bar. We wanted to have food available, and that's where sort of the canned seafood entered. And as Gareth and I tasted more and more imported canned seafood from Spain and Portugal and France, and you know, figuring out what we should be drinking with this food, we really started to realize that there was a amazing assortment of canned seafood that never really made it into the States. And so that's something that we really wanted to bring to the space, and from there it just sort of grew. I mean, when we started realizing that we could start curing and pickling some of our fish out of the space, you know, that's a project we're working on right now. That's kind of how it started. It was really about the space and what can we do in this space and how can we make this work.
I think that a lot of people might hear canned seafood and think about, you know, sun-kissed tuna or something like that. I guess explain the significance of the type of canned food that you're serving.
Well, there's a huge difference between American canned seafood and canned seafood that comes out of Europe, predominantly Spain, Portugal, France, Scandinavia, Iceland. In America, we've always used canned seafood for thrift. We've canned the byproduct, the parts of the fish that are being, you know, would have been thrown away otherwise. It's always been something that's very economical and thrifty. Whereas in Europe, a lot of this seafood is the best seafood of that year's harvest. It's canned when it's at its freshest. And, you know, the price reflects that, but it's also a cultural thing. I mean, what they put in cans there is the best that they have so that they can eat it all year round. There's even some French canneries that do, you know, vintage sardines, and it's basically the best sardine catch of the year is put into vintage cans. And they still can the rest of the sardines from the year, but this is when they're at their fattiest and have the most rich, buttery quality to them. And that's not something that you really see in the U.S. And we, as we started tasting all these different cans, we realized that this is, first off, something Gareth and I have always loved. I mean, we always have several cans around the house that we make our meals from. But it was also something that just doesn't really exist here. And we're now at the point where we're starting to bring in cans directly from canneries that aren't available at all in the States. And so that's really exciting. You'll see a lot of cans from Portugal and France coming on the menu in the next month. And yeah, so it's just it's a little bit of a different mentality at canneries in Europe.
Tell me about the name Maiden Lane.
Well, I used to work at the New Amsterdam market down near the South Street Seaport. And Maiden Lane dead ends into the South Street Seaport. And it's a street name that you find throughout port cities in the world. There's one in San Francisco, London, a lot of New England towns have Maiden Lanes. And for myself and for Gareth, it always referenced an area of a city, a port city, where fishermen, sailors, merchant sailors congregated, where you found marketplaces. This is one of the oldest streets in New York. It was named by the Dutch in the 1600s. The first public market in New York, the Vlaai Market, was on Maiden Lane. And so there's a lot of New York history, which is something we're interested in regards to our local seafood networks and fisheries and that sort of thing, and promoting that. And then also a lot of sort of the thread running through the selection of wine, beer, and food at Maiden Lane is about things you would see coming in out of ports, hence canned seafood, which is meant to travel, cured and smoked fish, which often was meant to travel on boats, sherries and fortified wines that were produced so that they could travel long distance in a hot boat and that sort of thing. And so that's kind of always been the underlying thread at Maiden Lane. That's where the name came from.
What sort of aspirations do you have for the continuing concept of the space? I imagine that you don't always want to do something cured, something fortified.
Well, it's that's kind of where we started, and over time it's turned into more just what do Gareth and Niles like to eat and drink. But with that thread still running through it, one of the main things is we never thought we were going to do as much food as we do. We kind of always envision ourselves a little bit more of a bar with some food there if you're hungry. But that's definitely completely taken off more so than we ever expected. And, for the last 4 months that we've been open, we've basically been buying cured and smoked and pickled seafood and meats and cheeses that other people have been producing. And now we are starting to produce our own stuff. So that's definitely something we want to expand, is that selection. Like I said, we definitely plan on importing a lot of cans that aren't available in the States and expanding that. And of course, expanding our wine and beer selection as things go. We're putting in draft lines next month for our beer. I don't think that the current Maiden Lane will ever really do hot food. I don't think we're ever going to turn into a full restaurant. I don't think we're ever going to put in burners or anything like that. I think we're going to kind of try and expand, really expand the seafood. I'd like to see, 40 or 50 canned seafood items on there and a large selection of house cured and smoked and pickled fish.
Yeah, I remember seeing on Instagram, you had a whole bass. So
yes.
Then you have to use that whole bass. How are the, what are the different ways that you can use that whole bass? Crudo, ceviche, obviously pickling and smoking by yourself. So that's super exciting. What has the neighborhood reception been?
Well, the neighborhood's been great. I mean, we're on Avenue B in East 10th Street, so we're definitely in Alphabet City. We're not exactly close to a subway, and it's not on your way to anywhere, really. I mean, unless you're walking to Avenue D. So the neighborhood is definitely our largest customer base. I mean, those are our regulars. Like I said, we're open during the day, and those are the people that you find in there, are people that live in the neighborhood that are popping in for a glass of wine or a bite to eat or something. And so they've been our biggest supporters. We were really scared about opening in a space like Life Cafe with 30 years of history, a space that was so iconic, regardless of people's feelings on the actual space. It was still like a piece of the East Village that disappeared. And after, you know, the first couple of days of people coming in and kind of, you know, trying to give us a hard time and figure out what we were doing, since then it's been a whole lot of support, so it's really good.
Of course there's skeptics.
Yeah.
Niles, what's the website?
It's themaidenlane.com.
Can we follow you on Twitter and Instagram and all that?
Yes, we use Instagram a lot. It's The Maiden Lane on Instagram as well. And then on Twitter, it's Maiden Lane NYC.
Well, thanks for coming by The Morning After.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a break here. I'm going to come back with what's on the menu at Chardonnay's.
You're listening to Trial and Error by Snowmine on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
And we're back here on The Morning After on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. So we've revisited the front of house. We revisited a fantastic interview from which I was bizarrely absent.
I'm sorry. What happened?
Going so well. It was going so well. I took a step back and I just wanted to watch it. I was so intrigued. But, you know, I think it's time. It's time to figure out what may be on the menu this week at Chardonnay's. Got to find out who makes those. So this week we would be a little crazy if we didn't at least mention once the train wreck that is not the performance itself, but the subsequent conversations about the Miley Cyrus VMA performance. My response, simply in one sentence, is get a real problem.
All she did was twerk with Beetlejuice.
Just get a real problem. Get a real problem. Go hang out in Syria for a second. Get a real problem.
Yeah, totally.
But I did want to give a slight nod to her this week in thinking about where we might be eating at the Chardonnay's pop-up. And because some have said that this performance was an attempt to show off a slightly artier side, I would like to honor that this week. So I've invited an old friend of the show back. She hasn't been here in a while.
I've missed her terribly. We saw her at... We saw her recently, though.
We did see her recently. It's an artist who's very close to the show and our hearts, the ancient creature, alien child, Bjork. So, Joe, if I could just have that music.
Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for attending the Miley Cyrus Artist for Artist for Art Celebrity Wine Whale Roast. I am your celestial mammal orb, Bjork. And for the next 2 hours, you will never feel either dead nor alive. You will only feel the low vibrations of my angst and the growing fear that you could at any moment be stabbed by someone dressed as a caveman. As none of you know, Miley has publicly rejected her past and is making the brave transition into the art world. Just moments before you all arrived in your Alexander McQueen rhino rickshaws, Maria Abramovich, my flesh partner Matthew Barney, and myself surrounded Miley in my root cellar, silently tore off all her clothes with our teeth, then apologized to her naked body. How beautiful it was in the cruel moonlight. Our ceremony continued with the eating of a quail heart. If you can swallow without crying, it means you are pure of spirit. Miley was a noble participant. Finally, each of the human presents and Marina Abramovich urinated a wish for Miley in the dust of the floor. Matthew's was that Miley always masturbate quietly. Marina's, that she sleep on a bed of poisonous succulents just to feel the burn of regret. And mine, that she change into a harp and have it medically fused onto her back so she can be my tiny little harp house pet. And I will play her and play her and play her all of the time. Our first course is about to arrive. Please enjoy 2 tortoise eggs with a mango compote. Vegetarians can just enjoy the mango compote and sit quietly considering their decisions. Our entree this evening will be a slab of fortified blue whale, caught by hand by my penis playmate, Matthew Barney, artist, while on location scouting an ocean he could fill with cement for his next artist film. It has been roasted on 6 milestone grill, crafted especially for this event by my dear friend, Andy Goldsworthy, who is with us this evening but wearing an invisibility cloak designed by Christian Dior. Dessert is a real treat. You will each receive a teaspoon of agave sweetened ground corn, chewed up and spat into your mouth by one of my 75 blind waiters. They were each handpicked from all over the world and now carry a tracking device inside of them so I can always know where they are. Please stop by the host table to say hello to the guest of honor. I have done Miley the favor of having her jaw wired shut so she might be able to truly take in the emotional tenor of the evening. She cannot speak, but if you lean down close enough, she will allow a tiny kiss on the forehead. Thank you all for coming, and enjoy to eating. You're alive.
It was a great party.
I'm crying. I am absolutely crying right now. Bjork, I miss you. And yeah. It was fantastic to see you at Bonnaroo in June, but it's much better to have you in studio. Jan, what are you doing for Labor Day?
Well, I'm currently spilling coconut water all over the front of my person. Labor Day, I'm starting a new round of my voiceover class tomorrow. So I will be teaching.
Is it booked?
It is booked. It's fully sold out, which is
sorry,
great.
Fans.
Yo, all of you. So I'll be probably doing some seating charts for the wedding during the day and then teaching some voiceover class in the night. How about you? What are you doing? Anything exciting?
Absolutely nothing. Except going to dinner at a dear friend Kiara's house. They're making dinner for Aaron and I.
Oh,
so
fabulous.
Not really celebrating Labor Day, just enjoying not having to work and all of that. So I won't be here next week.
I don't want to talk about
I'm
it.
I'm gonna miss you terribly. I'll coach you through. Maybe I'll be able to like call in. No, probably not.
Probably not. Not from Greece. You're just gonna have to scream really loudly.
Niles, is the Maiden Lane open on Labor Day?
That's still yet to be decided.
It's however tonight goes.
Yeah, it's how we feel at the end of the night tonight.
Sounds good. Well, check out the Maiden Lane at 10th Street and Avenue B, www.themaidenlane.com. And you can, of course, submit your front of house story to us here at The Morning After at morningafter.foh@gmail.com if you'd like to be involved in that. And I'll miss you all. I'll leave it to Jen. Leave it in her hands. Thank you, Bjork.
God help us all.
This is The Morning After on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.